Welcome to the Cormorant Cafe. I'm going to be doing an open mic soon, so if you guys would mind quieting down there, that table, yeah. Shut up. Can you not see? Hello? Is this thing working? Okay, well, we're going to have an open mic in a few minutes. It'll probably start at 15 after, so you guys can get settled, go get a coffee. Say hi to the barista for me. She doesn't know I have a crush on her. Oh, crap. Oh, well. Anyway, I'll be back in a few seconds, maybe a minute and a half. Can you bump into them? Maybe they'll shut up. Okay, be back soon. Good evening, everyone. This is R. Wesley Edwards. I doubt you know who that is. But welcome to the Cormorant Cafe's first ever open mic night. We're going to be doing these on Wednesdays. So it's Wednesday, right? Someone? Anyone? Anyone want to tell me? No? Okay, well, I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday. We're going to do these at 7:15. That'll give people time to come and sit down, get their coffee, get their nerves, and bring up their writing so that they can read it. Or you can just hand it to me and I can read it. We have a guest. He's not going to read it. Don't know why. I've actually seen you read at open mic, Roman. I guess we didn't really call you Roman back then. I don't remember what we called you. I think we called you that guy who sometimes has great barbecues. Anyway, he's got some kind of a zombie sex story that he published to his blog, it looks like, and he told me to read it to you all at this inaugural episode that is the open mic at the Cormorant Cafe, hashtag Cormy Cafe, you know. Anyway, let's start off with something I wrote in the last year called Jennifer Peehan. Jennifer Peehan, by me, R. Wesley Edwards. Miss Peehan ate the last peanut butter square with an air of unrepentant relish. She dropped crumbs and made warm, happy noises as she stuffed the last bits past her lips and into her mouth to be destroyed by already chewing teeth. She sucked some of the crumbs off one of her fingers and, as she dramatically pulled it from her mouth, she made an exaggerated kiss noise by sucking her lips and opening her mouth. She giggled. The problem now, of course, was that people would notice all the peanut butter squares were gone. It wouldn't take a 21st century Sherlock Holmes to deduce it was Miss Peehan in the nursery with her fingers. In the past, a misdemeanor such as this was concealed in the hustle and bustle of the Peehan residence quite easily on account of theirs being a happy and active home, not the kind of morose home some of her neighborhood friends had to endure, where their house was treated as a perpetual crime scene and all conversations were nearly the accusatory and heated exchanges one would expect of a constable and a suspect in the interrogation room at the police station. But it was probably different this time. For one thing, Mrs. Peehan had been planning these peanut butter squares for weeks and had only yesterday put her hands upon the perfect recipe. They were pretty good, mused Miss Peehan, callously licking her lips, and had baked them while playing some old music on some old music playing machine she had Mr. Peehan retrieve from the attic of the garage for just this occasion, a contraption still set up on a card table in the dining area. For another thing, there was a post-it note on the fridge reminding Mrs. Peehan to deliver some of these very peanut butter squares to her women's club on Wednesday, and that post-it note was, for the moment sadly, out of Miss Peehan's reach. Finally, she knew her father, the venerable Mr. Peehan, loved peanut butter squares, and he kept asking about them, and Mrs. Peehan, she kept saying, "Not yet, honey," and he made lip-spanking noises of anticipatory contentment, which made Miss Peehan feel almost guilty. Almost. The first order of business was to remove the evidence. Placing her little face very, very close to the floor, she pinched up all the teeny tiny and itty bitty crumbs and placed them, one and all, into one of the Ziploc bags, which had, until her recent ministrations, been holding Mrs. Peahen's perfect peanut butter squares. Now she couldn't take out the trash as such, that'd only make everyone suspicious. So she took the tray and the Ziploc bags into the kitchen and carefully rolled the bags into cylinders and stabbed them artistically in amongst the trash so it looked almost natural. Can't be too natural, it's trash. Has to be almost natural. She then carefully and stealthily half-carried, half-dragged a dining chair to the counter next to the sink. She got very wet doing it, but she managed to clean the tray. She set it down on the chair, climbed down to the floor, and took a kitchen towel and dried the tray. But where does this tray go? She didn't exactly remember it. It clearly wasn't one of the normal stable of dishes seen around the kitchen and dining areas in the house. She tried so hard to remember. In the meantime, she placed the tray on the counter and scooched the dining chair up to the fridge. She was just able to reach the offending Post-it, which she snatched and placed in the trash, flat against the side of the liner bag. She returned the dining chair. That tray, though, where does it live? She looked in the cabinet under the sink. Nothing looked disturbed there. She took the tray down from the counter and examined it. Nothing special. Not a holiday tray, not an oversized tray, just a normal tray. Bigger and more fancy than a plate, though weighing decidedly less than a plate. She moved the dining chair again and climbed up onto the counter, wet from her earlier treatment, and, slipping but steadying herself, opened one of the cabinets. There, an empty and conspicuous plate. Space where a tray, this tray, did justly belong and live. She leaned down, grabbed the tray, and, upon her tippy toes, placed it as carefully as she could into the cabinet, above the sink, onto a pile of other rarely used dishes. There, fait accompli. As she closed the cabinet door, she heard a loud sliding noise inside it, and something heavy thumped against the door, loudly from the inside. At this same moment, one of her feet, she was still on her tiptoes, slipped and she fell into the sink, badly bruising her left knee. It was actually quite lucky she fell into the sink, because had Miss Peahen fallen back onto the chair or the floor below, the contents of the cabinet, which were falling mightily upon the chair, bouncing and sliding only to rest on the floor, would have crashed all around and on top of her, possibly hurting her more than a bruised knee. All of this with the greatest racket and noise anyone in the Peahen household could imagine that wasn't caused by Mother Nature herself. For a few moments, Miss Peahen waited, frozen in the sink, her small knee in a pulsing siren of pain, thinking the jig was up because it most obviously was. Okay, you can stop clapping now. Yeah, no, just... Yes, I appreciate it. You're not going to get a free coffee for clapping, so... Alright, Roman's not going to read this, so I'm going to read it. It's... He claims that it's 5 minutes. A minute ago, I read you, Jennifer Peahen. It was 5 minutes. We'll just see. We'll just see if it's 5 minutes or if it, you know, literally kills me. Okay, since Roman's not going to read this, here we go. The Voodoo Sex Shop by Roman. By the way, he's Twitter user Roman Opium Tales. I don't think he does a lot of writing anymore. I think he's paints naked chicks now. Alright, the Voodoo Sex Shop. Nobody fucked with Jack. Do you remember that old Jim Croce song about Leroy Brown? Yeah, Jack was a real life version of that guy. Anyway, Jack liked to beat the shit out of other men. He thought they were the toughest guy in the bar. He didn't like it when other men stood tall around him. Best to just keep your head down. And don't look at him, unless you're handing him money or some whiskey. He did like his whiskey. Jack also liked women. He liked all kinds of women. Big women, little women, tall women, short women. He liked them all. But never kept one around. He'd do his thing, say some loving stuff, then get on his way. He never stayed around that long. Jack would say something like the law was looking for him, and he best get on his way. A lot of women like that. He was a bad boy, and he could fuck, or at least that's what the women told the other women. Best pure fucking they'd ever had. So that's Jack in a nutshell. That's all you need to know about Jack. Oh, call him sir, he likes that. You can look him in the eyes if you call him sir, then he'd be on his good side. Buy him a drink if you're anywhere near a bar. If you're walking with Jack and you happen to walk by a bar, say, sir, let's step inside and the first round is on me, top shelf. Then find an excuse to leave. It's best not to stick around when his fists start flying. Don't worry, he's not going to hit you, but the other guy's friend might punch you while Jack beats up his friend. That's never a fun thing. Where am I going with this? Hold your horse. Jack deserved a proper introduction. That's the least I could have done for the man. After all, I'm the only man he ever bought a drink for. No, I'm not a tough guy. I'm a storyteller. And Jack liked me for it because I told his story when he hit the road and run from the law. He did that a lot. But he always snuck back here for personal reasons. This should tell you since it's personal. As I said, Jack liked women. A little bit too much. Rumor had it Florida had a little whorehouse in a small town called the Voodoo Sex Shop. No, not New Orleans flavor voodoo. The Haitian kind. You know those guys that speak with an Afro-French accent? I wouldn't have stepped foot in that place. But like I said, Jack liked women. A little bit too much. So Jack checks out the place. And there's this little skinny Haitian guy, probably late 40s or 50s, just very cheesy looking joint, and he's got a top hat, black suit, and this heat. Hi, Jack. How did you know my name? You got quite a reputation. I've never been in this shithole town before. How did you know my name? Well, sir, I know men, and when it comes to men, you're like a king of men, and I know you like women, lots of women. We got women here. The skinny pimp guy pours some whiskey into a glass, nods, and gives it to Jack. On the house. To your health. Jack smiled. Like I said, he liked being called sir, and he liked his ego stroked. And he really liked it when someone gave him a good drink. Oh, this stuff is smooth. I provide only the best. That's aged Tennessee whiskey. The maker's a repeat customer. He gives me his best stuff. Goddamn. This may be the best motherfucking whiskey I've ever had in my life. And you're about to have the best time of your life, Jack. $250. As many girls as you want, and take your time. Jack always had money. As well as I knew Jack, he always had money. I've never seen him work a day in his life, however, he always had money. So he slapped down $250 and the skinny man smiled and pointed with his wooden wand to the back and bowed. Yes, the pimp is that cheesy. Laugh all you want, but don't underestimate people. What's that saying? Don't judge a book by its cover? Yeah, there's a reason for that. Sayings that stay around for hundreds of years, there's a reason for them. More on that another day. Let's get back to Jack. Well, there may be children reading this, so I'm not going to go into explicit details, but Jack did everything a man can do with four women, and when I say everything, just open up your dirtiest thoughts, and yes, he did that too. Careful about those big smiles. He came out with a big smile. 4 hours later, Jack had a big smile. Bigger smile than I've ever seen him have. Even that time when five guys tried to jump him. That put a smile on his face. But I'm talking an even bigger smile. So Jack was feeling really good about himself, and after he came out, the skinny Haitian pimp greeted him with a smile. Jack decided to do something bad. Are you the only man here? Only living man? Yes, I am. Jack looked around and pulled out a knife. You know the drill. Not a good idea, Jack. What are you going to do about it, Slim? Me? Nothing. I'm not a fighter. Jack smiled again as he saw the pimp whip out hundreds of dollars, and instead of handing it over to Jack, he started counting the hundreds. But they are. Jack dropped the knife in horror. The pimp definitely was telling the truth. He was the only living guy there. This part I'm not going to go into details because you might have just eaten. We'll just say that it wasn't that hard to dispose of Jack. Afterwards, the pimp had a disappointed look on his face as he put the clothes sign up on the door and mopped up the blood. Rumor had it that the pimp kept Jack's heart, part of a strong man and has a lot of power. I'm not exactly the resident expert in voodoo, so I don't know what that means. I just heard the rumors. Well, that was Jack. I never did know his last name. Mm-hmm.
hey, don't worry, I didn't break any glass. That you have to worry about. All right, since I don't see anyone, no one volunteering, anybody, come on. Don't leave me hanging here. At least you can wimp out. You can just give me something to read. And don't say the dictionary. That didn't go over very well before. Here, you know what? I'm going to read a couple of my things. They're old, but they're short. They're just, I don't know, I call them poetry, but I guess there might be rules. People like to think that things have to rhyme, and then they get all bitchy with me because I don't like to rhyme. I think the rhyming actually distracts me most of the time. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to read Mr. Itchy Bottom. I'll read this Caldo Angels thing, and I'll read one more if I can find a short enough one. From a million years ago, this little book here, it's called Salvaged Poetry. I actually have it online. You can. I have this and a novel I wrote. All right, we'll start with this short little Mr. Itchy Bottom thing. Here we go. Mr. Itchy Bottom, a poem. Scratching his ass, always scratching his ass. He was Mr. Itchy Bottom, alas. Okay, this one's, it's not too long. Too Far Away to See, I think. Let me see. Too Far Away to See, by me, obviously. It says, for Sarah, who was in San Diego in the Navy when I wrote this. She was cute, too. All right, Too Far Away to See. Night, that last regret, and your call to me, still fresh on the wind. Mind full of wonder, heart bespelled, loins alert. Does it work on her as well? Looking back and down, into past, into memory. The presence of her pulls and tears at the edges of soul and vision. Can I but wait? Can I be trusted to wait? Will she? But the sorrow song of the sparrow in the gloomy morning, the din cacophony of a million distressed pigeons. Was it wasted? Can time be wasted? Okay, last one. I'll read the... this is actually the first one in the book. And I may come back later and read super-duper easy thing that everybody seems to like, even though it's really, really easy. The I Am poem, whatever. So here we are. Caldo of the Angels. Also by me, obviously. One with hair this long was walking forever, and he found this stone that he called Caldo. Caldo was forgiveness for debts. Caldo is the word for exchange, for barter. Caldo means trade. When the angels came, they didn't know Caldo and lost their feathers in a game of pool. The next time they came, they brought many rocks. They smashed the pool table, the sticks, the bar. They found the sharks and smashed them as well. These were no ordinary angels. They were you and me. They were us. Aren't you glad we got those fuckers back for plucking our feathers? Okay, that's all. Okay, so I'm gonna go mingle with the tables, trying to find somebody who's not a fucking wuss who will come up here and read. Or maybe I can find a fucking wuss who doesn't want to come up, but they actually wrote something and I'll read it for you. You fucking wuss. Alright, I'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, so some of you want to read, but maybe not tonight, or you are still too shy, and calling you a fucking list didn't work. It's fine. It's fine. I'm just up here by myself, whatever. All right, I'm going to read one more thing. I don't know. People seem to like this one. I don't know. I think it's called I Am. Okay, this is called I Am. I wrote this a ridiculously long time ago. My name is Exetophis. I am the wanderer on the soul's roads. I am the book you haven't opened. I am every book you've ever read. I am the space between the darkness and the light. Though I am as old as time itself, I shall witness my own birth tomorrow. I am the silence of the whisper, the roar of the gale. I am the crack in the egg. I'm what your friend said that you didn't hear. I'm the one who gave you bunny ears in that photo on our sixth grade field trip. The turtle you stepped on while swimming in the pond at summer camp, that too was me. I fear you. I exist because you believe in me. I am the forever kept secret. I wear different colors. I evade the shadows. My eyes are green. I have many friends. No one knows my true nature. I am what beauty dreams of. I do not lie. I am eternal. I am the smoke from the flame. I am the period at the end of this sentence. After I wrote that, and people for some reason liked it, I wrote this because I thought it was really easy to write. So I wrote this little encore thing to throw on the end. My name is Exetophis. I am the words beneath your breath. I am the rocks in the sky. I am the crack in the egg of time. I am the place unknown, the forever kept secret. You know me. I am your best friend's fondest thoughts. I am the mud in the veins of Mother Earth. I am the richness in chocolate. I am come as time. All right, that's all. Alright, well, I guess none of you fucking wusses wanted to read anything, and it's already 20-something, 25 minutes long. Maybe we'll put this thing online. I'll add some music and some ads just to annoy people. No, I'll add ads in case it makes money. Alright, I've been R. Wesley Edwards. This is my little dog. You can't see or hear her because she's very, very good. This has been the very first full episode of the Open Mic Nights here at the Cormorant Cafe, where you can get some really strong coffee or be yelled at by a very angry bird. And don't forget to tip your bartender. Good night, everyone.